Morning again. Magandang umaga po sa iyong lahat. And we are the Beeman family, and we are from the Philippines. Nakatira po kami sa Taytay, Rizal. Nilipat po kami sa Mindoro sa Disyembre. Tama po pa, Ate Jane? Ang Tagalog ko? Okay. Checking my Tagalog. We have some speakers here this morning. We are so happy to be in the Philippines. It is a wonderful place to do ministry. And I want to first... we'll be looking at a couple places this morning, but I recognize that as missionaries, and I guess this is the way it's thought of missionaries, you go out and you minister on your foreign field, and your responsibilities are there. But as we look throughout the Bible, and we look at the Apostle Paul, and how did he do his missionary journeys? Well, Paul, he came back. He came back and he reported what God had done. If we look in Acts chapter number 14, we see here that Paul had went out with Barnabas, and verse number 25, it says this, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down in Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So we see here that the Apostle Paul, the missionary, he had a responsibility to go back and to rehearse all that God had done. And so the Beeman family this morning and this evening, we'd like to fulfill that responsibility to you. Thank you so much for supporting the Beeman family, and we would like to rehearse all that God has done in the Philippines. We do have some slides here. I got that reference wrong. Sorry, it was Acts 14. But if we go to the next slide, I just want to maybe a day in the life or a weekend in the life of the Beeman family in the Philippines, just so you can see kind of what it's like. So we went to the Philippines in the fall of 2022, and we started there, talked about it this morning, ministering to children. This is a typical weekend for us. Usually on Saturday mornings, we have what we call a Bible club. And this was just a few weeks ago. This is our Bible club in an area. This is Antipolo, Rizal. And the government has designated an area that they call a squatter zone, for lack of better terms. And people go there and they just live and they build up their shacks. And this is a place that we've been ministering. We went in and we just started talking with the children. The girls ministered to the kids. And the Beeman family, we are a family. We go and we minister as a family. The kids are not just spectators. They are participants. They have something to do. And so they have ministered to children. They've been a huge part in this. And we shared with the kids Jollibee. And I don't know, is there Jollibee in Arizona? Lepa? Meron? Okay, so there are some. And we got the kids some Jollibee. That was a real treat for them. And so we'll have a time of Bible study and tell them a story. We'll sing some songs. And so that has progressed, and God has grown that. Through that, we've been able to reach some of these families. And you'll see a picture of those if we go to the next slide. This is a man. This man sitting in the middle, his name is Dr. Lorenz Ramos. And he is a man that I met a year and a half ago, maybe. The kids had to get physicals for school. And he is, the Philippines has an upper class, and then they have the lower class. And he is, I guess, what you would call the upper class. And I talked to him, and I said, talk to him about what we're doing in the Philippines. I said, would you like to do a Bible study? And he said, yes, I would. I'd like to do that. Little did I know, just coming through the pandemic, he had gone through some major depression and was about to commit suicide. And God put us in his way just at the right time. And we started doing Bible studies with him. And just a devout Catholic, a man that believed that you need good works to be saved. And if you're here this morning and you're putting your faith and trust in your good works, you're not going to get to heaven that way. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And the Philippines, we would say, sa pamamagitan ng pananampalataya kay Jesus, through faith in Jesus. That's how we get saved. And but he wouldn't get saved. And I thought, well, this isn't the way it should work. I should be able to go to this man, give him the gospel. But his heart was hard. But we kept working on him. You know, one of my favorite things about going to the Philippines is that we have God's word. It is so powerful. The gospel can really change someone's life. If you just give them the verses there, you don't have to be eloquent or good at, you know, we probably couldn't write a book on how to be good missionaries. But if you have God's word, it can really change someone's heart. It can melt that heart of stone. And we went through a series that I labeled Encounters with Jesus. And any time in the Bible that someone encountered Jesus, we would go through that story. We'd go through the, eventually we got, this is just recently, this is the last Bible study that we did right before coming to the States. And praise the Lord, the doctor got saved. Finally. You know, we were so busy packing up our house, getting ready to leave. It's hard to move internationally, even though it's just for a short time. And it was 9 p.m. at night, and the doctor, let's just say, hey, I want to study the Bible with you guys again. I thought, man, this is really not good time for that, but I know why I'm here. I know my purpose here. So we went, and we stayed late into the night, and we shared with him the story of Nicodemus, how that here's a man who had all these good works, and the doctor, he prided himself on carrying his cross. I do all these good things. I minister to people all the time. And he did. He was a good man, as the world would say. But I said, here's Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, a man who fasted and he prayed. And if you would, he carried his cross more than we will probably ever carry our cross. And yet, he was on his way to hell. And he went to Jesus concerned. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You can go to Jesus and you can be forgiven of your sins. And Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. When we are born into this world, we have our spirit, which is dead because of our sin. Like Asalanan tayo, we have sin. And because of that, we are dead. And we need to be born again. And he realized that I need to be born again. I said, doctor, if I had to write a prescription to you. You understand medicine, and you've written me prescriptions before when I've had problems. What about being born again? I think you need to think about this. And the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he said, yes, I need that. And he prayed, and he got saved. And he's growing. He's still doing Bible studies. The man on the right there is my friend, missionary Pastor Chris Hurst, and he's still doing Bible studies. He's growing. So pray for him, if you would. But sometimes people don't get saved right away. But don't give up on them. I'm glad someone didn't give up on me. They were consistent with me when I was stubborn and didn't listen. Just keep going. We'll go to the next slide. This is a lady here on the right. Her name is Janet. And she is one of the ladies. We went up into the squatter area. And I would sit there with my girls. I would put up a chair. Whenever you go into a Filipino home, they want to give you food, and they want to give you a place to sit. And so we sat there, and I gave her the couple of lines in Tagalog that I knew, and then I left. And I kept doing that, and us and the girls, and finally she got saved, and her family, and the children started to get saved, and her daughter there, Vanessa there, very, very faithful. And we go they're still doing Bible clubs and discipleship with them every weekend. So God has really changed that family. And it's because of Jesus. It's not because of us. Brother Chris, I'm not eloquent. I didn't go to Bible college to be a missionary. I went to be a software engineer. But if you just go with the gospel, the simple gospel, it will change someone's life. It will change someone's heart. And we're seeing God do that in the Philippines. If we go to the next slide. This is her, what we call a Bahay Kubo. And she said, Pastor Tom, you can use this anytime you want. I can go up there anytime. And if I want to just sit and talk with them, we don't knock on the door anymore. We just, pwedeng pumasok. Just go in. You go ahead. And so we sit there, and the neighborhood kids have come out, and we've slowly gone through the Bible with them. And so they're still doing those Bible clubs. And through all that, if we go to the next slide, I think I have it on there. We've started a bus route. and started picking them up. People that would not otherwise go to church, God did all that for us, and it's just a blessing. But church, you are a part of that. I know you can't be there in the Philippines with us, but really you have been. You've prayed for us. You've given so that we can be there. And there's people going to heaven today because you were faithful. Faithful in those, even those small things. It's big for us, and it's big for the Lord. So keep praying for them as they continue to grow. If we go to the next slide. Every Sunday, we like to take the kids out. This is a regular thing we do. We'll say, gusto mo ba mag-McDo? Do you want to go to McDonald's? And they love it. And for many of them, it was the first time that they had ever gone to McDonald's, and now we go every week with them. But they have grown. This little girl here on the left, her name is Adeline. She got saved, and you have to know the culture in the Philippines, people are shy. And they, especially talking to an American, but when she got saved, something changed inside of her, and she's one of the younger members in her family. She has older siblings, but she said, "I want to get baptized." And there was older people that had gotten baptized, but they were shy to get baptized. But she said, "No, I'll go alone. I want to show everyone that I got saved." And she has grown so much. We're so proud of her and what God's going to do in her life. Pray for her and her siblings there. If we go to the next slide. This is something that we'll be doing in the Philippines. God has given us some gifts, and my wife is a nurse practitioner in nephrology, and so for many years she worked helping people, and so this is what we call a pop-up clinic, and we'll go into these neighborhoods on Saturdays, and this particular day the girls will go out and say, "Hey, we have a free clinic." And we screen people, and for Filipinos, we'll tell them, "Don't eat so much rice, it's not good for you." And so we go through, but then we're also able to give them the gospel, and we know that's going to be a big part of our ministry when we go to Mindoro, where they don't get that kind of care. There's only a couple doctors on the whole island, so there's a great need for that. But we use that as an avenue to get the gospel in. If we go to the next slide. Another thing, the island of Mindoro, there are many different needs, but one of them is help with babies. And my wife worked at a pregnancy clinic and learned how to deliver babies, so that will be another part of our ministry that we can go and minister to these people. If we go to the next slide. So many opportunities. One of the things that we've been doing, this is a garment factory. And you've heard in the States before, sweatshops. In Asia, and this is quite literally a sweatshop. It's much hotter than Arizona inside there, I promise you. And the people are making garments, and the manager told us, "Hey, you can come in if you want during the break time, and you can share with them. I'll give you 15 minutes, you can come in." And so we go in there, and we have food for them, and just a little break for them, but that has been a fruitful ministry. If we go to the next slide. This is the place that we're going to when we get back in the Philippines, the island of Mindoro, the seventh biggest island in the Philippines. That is us and the girls taking boats around the island. It is not very developed. The roads are not all finished. So to get to some places, we have to go by boat. Sometimes we have to take our car across rivers. It's a little scary, but God has protected us along the way. But there is a great need there. If we go to the next slide. This is the first time we ever met the what we call the Katatubo. On that island, they are the Mangyans. And I was showing them our drone here, there is a whole generation of kids that if we would love them, if we would pour some time and some effort and give them the gospel, we could have this island turned around for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're excited about. If we go to the next slide, the last one. These are the Mangyans. They're a tribal group. There are eight major groups on this island, and this is one of the groups, the Hananu'o, and that is my pastor friend there, Pastor Abe, the one in the middle, and these are the tribal leaders. If you want to do something inside of a village, you must go through the tribal leaders, and so he's a Katatubo himself, and he got saved, and now he's trying to reach his own people, and that's really the key on that island, is training the Katatubo to reach their people. And he wants to bring me here, but there are some places that you go up into the mountains, but they won't receive you unless you're wearing a loincloth. So that won't be on our prayer letter, but I'm just kidding. I'm probably not going to do that. And That's one of the sounds. That's from Mindoro, and you'll hear that sound oftentimes in the islands, people calling together gatherings. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I want to put a highlight on the Katatubo. Who are these people? What do they do? What do they believe? What are we up against there? But I want to get into the scripture this morning. Thank you. And you can turn that off. That might be distracting. I don't know. I've enjoyed your fellowship. So many familiar faces and new faces, and got to have a good conversation with Pastor last night and talked about how he likes sauerkraut so much. And I thought, did I get that right? Because I love sauerkraut. Is that, no, that's not right. I love sauerkraut, and we should all eat it. And just kidding. You know, being on the mission field, God has, you know, put us out of our comfort zone in some ways, but the food in the Philippines, we love it, and you should come visit us there. It is a great place. And we'll be in the text this morning. We're going to look at a couple passages, John chapter 6. We see, we can all stand. We'll all stand here for the reading of God's word. We'll read John 6, 24. We see here a group of followers. The previous text here is about the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to look firstly this morning at fleeting followers. John 6, 24. When the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. It's so powerful. Lord, we're so blessed this morning from the singing, even the testimony of Brother Chris. Lord, thank you so much for another follower. Lord, I pray this morning we would consider, Lord, are we following you? Are we followers of you? I pray that you would help us through your word this morning. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Followers. We're going to look this morning at following Jesus. Following Jesus. In this text here, we have a group of people. We know the feeding of the 5,000, all those that came and ate the bread and the fish. And being in the Philippines, we've observed two types of people. We've seen followers that I would like to call fleeting followers. And then we have faithful followers. So my question for you this morning, what kind of follower are you? In John chapter 6, we see the first group of followers here. Sometimes we don't think about the rest of the story. What happened after the 5,000 ate the bread and the loaves? What happened to those people? Well, the next day, those people, I don't know how many of them, but the Bible says that they followed Jesus. They wanted to find him. So they got in their boats. They took shipping. They came to find Jesus where he was. And we could say from the text here that they were following Jesus. One of the hardest things for me in the Philippines and our family that we struggled with, you go into some of these areas and you invest your life into these people. You give food. You invest your time and your money, and all these things, and you just want them to be sincere and real with you, and then one day you realize that the relationship is not as deep as you thought it was, and they're looking to get something from you. There's a group of followers in the Philippines we like to call rice Christians. They come for the free meal. They come for that free rice. Oh, I'll go to your church if I get more food than that church over there. I'll come to your church. I'll follow if there's something in it for me. And Jesus here encounters a group of people like that. And they have come, they were filled, they saw the miracle. And Jesus, he's obviously looking to their heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Jesus looked to their heart. Why are you still following me? And let's ask ourselves that question. Why are we following after Jesus? What do we want from him? And the Bible says here, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Then we see, we continue in the chapter in John chapter 6. Let's move down to verse number 66. What I would like to call is maybe the saddest verse in the Bible, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. We, of course, know, looking back on the Gospels, Jesus had his disciples, the 11, and the one that betrayed him. But the truth is, there were many more. There were many more than that. In verse number 66, it says this, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." There were more, but they were fleeting followers. Verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" How about that question from Jesus this morning as we're following him? When we don't get exactly what we're looking for from Jesus, when we don't get what we want out of the Christian life, from church, from other people in the church, will we go away also? Are we a fleeting follower this morning? Oh, that hurt me so bad. And my wife and I, we went through it, and man, what are we going to do? These people, there are some that are coming, and they're just looking for the free meal, the free handout. We thought they were sincere. They wanted to follow Jesus. But they left, and they went away from him. Are you a fleeting follower? They had certain expectations of Jesus. Jesus will follow you if the free food keeps coming. I remember when we were first starting out, we went to one group of people, and every morning they would come out. There was a couple trees, and they had a little platform there, and the people would come and congregate. You have to know, in the Philippines, people, they love groups, okay? If you're in the Philippines, you got to be in some kind of group. And they like the, I don't know, pakikisama. They like to get along with each other. And so as missionaries, we want to get along with them. And so we try to get along in their groups, and there was always these people. And we went over there, we talked to them, told them, "Hey, we're starting a Bible club for children. Would you let your children come?" And they said, "Sure, yeah, we'll let them come." And they saw that we were giving food to other children, so we started having Bible clubs with them. We brought them to church one day. We were having a big activity for the children, and of course we had food. We had hot dogs, we had bread, we had other things. When we dropped the children off that day, the kids said, "Oh, Mom, I'm so hungry. Busog. I mean, I'm gutom na ako. I'm so hungry." And after that day, that mom said to us, "They will not be going back to your church." They were there to get something from us. We went back. We tried to apologize and make it right with them. But they were fleeting followers. We have some people that go to church because they can get something from it. Christian, mga kapatid, we need to come to church not for what we can get, but for what we can give. Come with an attitude, "Lord, what can I do?" I know some people go from church to church. The youth group isn't the way I want for my kids, or the singing is not what we like, and we don't get the experience we're looking for. Come to church for what you can give. Help the body of Christ. Be faithful right here. Are you a fleeting follower? The question from Jesus, will ye go away also? Then we see the contrast here. We see the faithful followers. And Brother Chris, I think, mentioned it this morning about those disciples, those first people that were called in Mark 1. We'll just look to contrast this. Mark 1, 16. It says, Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make ye fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. We see the faithful followers, those that followed Jesus, even though they didn't have all the answers, they didn't have all the details, They hadn't gone to Bible college yet. They said, we're going to follow Jesus. They were real followers. Jesus hasn't offered us free bread. He didn't do all these things. In fact, he told us to just follow him. And they followed him. We see here that there was an immediate response. And let me remind you this morning that there is still a need in this world. There is a need for the gospel to go out. In the Philippines, there's Saturdays where I'll look around and there's just so many children everywhere. And I think we could do so much more if there was just more people. There's a need, even right here in Arizona. We need to be faithful followers of Jesus. And we see next that there was something that they had to leave behind. I always say when I share the gospel with someone in the Philippines, libre ang ating kasalanan, or kaligtasan, excuse me. Our salvation is free, and it is. And that's the way we should offer it. But following Jesus is going to cost us something. It wasn't free. And if we look here a little closely, what they had to give up was quite substantial. I'm not telling you this morning that you need to leave your job, that you need to leave your family, but I think it's important to see here that they had to leave some big things. They left their occupation. They left some things behind. Let me ask you this morning, is there anything that you would leave behind to follow Jesus closer? Is there something in your life? I know for all of us, we could probably give a little more time to Jesus every day. To follow Jesus, you're going to have to forsake something. You can't just add Jesus onto your life. Well, you go to the store and you buy something and, well, this will improve my life and I'll get this food because it tastes good. And, oh yeah, Jesus. And we'll add him on because he makes us feel good. No, you're going to have to leave some things behind. There's a price to pay to follow Jesus. And they were willing to follow him. What are we willing to leave behind to follow Jesus a little closer? I know one missionary, his, I won't even mention his name, but he's I met him in the Philippines, and he goes to a country that is closed. Missionaries should not be going there. And he came and he reported to our church, and he told us the stories of how he was beaten almost to death. And he didn't say that so that we could feel sorry for them. He told us because he needed our prayer. He needed prayer, and he was going to go right back. Some people to follow Jesus are going to have to give up some pretty big things. Are we willing to give up anything? How many of you, on the weekends, you get that report on your phone that says screen time? Screen time. I think iPhones do it. I don't know if Android does. How many of you, we could give up some more time every week for Jesus?
Amen.
The power here we see in Mark chapter 1, they started to follow Jesus, and we see miracles being done. Jesus goes into the temple. He starts casting out demons. We see that Jesus goes to Simon Peter's mother and he heals her. And we see that it's not because the disciples were just the greatest talented people. They went to Bible college and had all this knowledge. They saw the miracles in their lives because they got closer to Jesus. They started following Jesus closely. They didn't heal people right there. They didn't raise people from the dead. Jesus did. It's because they were closer to him. Church, God would do so much in our lives and in this church if we just follow him closer. To be a follower of Jesus, there's some things you're going to have to forsake. To get closer to them, what are you willing to give up to follow him closer? We see here that there is a commitment to a new identity. Jesus here tells them to leave their fishers by trade. That was their identity. How many times do we introduce someone? Oh, they're a doctor. Oh, they're an engineer. Oh, they work at this place. Those things become a part of our identity. And we get proud of those things sometimes. In the Philippines, it's a big deal. In Asian culture, it's a big deal. Oh, what do you do? What school did you go to? Is it prestigious? Is it, are you the breadwinner in your family? Those are important things in that culture. And that's a part of our identity. And we see here that to be a follower of Christ, they had to give up their identity and become followers of Jesus. When people when you introduce someone, when someone meets you, do you tell them, I'm a follower of Jesus? Is that the first thing out of your mouth? Or is it, oh, these are all the things that I do and that I've done. We need to be followers of Jesus. Follow him. A commitment to a new identity. We see here, Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning, simple message. What are you willing to give up to follow Jesus closer? And maybe there's one here that you don't really understand. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a believer? How do I get to heaven? Maybe you're like Nicodemus and you would say, I have good works. I've done some good things. I'm nice to my children and my parents. I give money to the poor. The Bible says you must be born again. You must be born again. And don't be one of these rice Christians who comes to a church to get something. Come to church because you want to worship God, because you love him. Christian, let's follow Jesus closer. To be a follower of Jesus, there's something you have to give up. And it's worth it. Brother Chris, it's worth it. What a decision you made this morning to follow Jesus. What is Jesus doing here as he starts his earthly ministry? He's looking for disciples. He's not looking for Jesus. I often say he is the first person who started a mega church. Thousands of people he was able to gather. But what does Jesus do? After all these people come and they're looking for more bread, they want Jesus to be like Moses who gave manna in the wilderness all those years. Right. Jesus, you need to do these things for us and then we'll follow you. Let's not be that kind of follower. We see the principle here that helped my wife and I so much. What do we do when we encounter someone who's going after Jesus just for what they can get? Jesus, he lets them go. Listen, that's a hard thing to do. Of course, we keep going after and praying for them. But there's some people that they just looking to get something out of it. And Jesus, he let those people go. He was looking for the true followers. Who are the true followers of Jesus? Will you follow him closer today? Is there something that you'd give up for him? Say, maybe I could give 30 minutes more, maybe an hour more to Jesus. There's no way when you look at your screen time that it should be more than the time that you spend with God. Amen. Let's follow Jesus closer than we do our phone and social media. Let's follow Jesus closer. Let's pray this morning and we'll be done. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for being so good to us. God, I pray that this morning, if there's someone that's not saved, Lord, that they would come this morning and be born again. Lord, I pray for the Christian this morning that, Lord, we would just be real with you. Lord, I pray if there's something that we need to forsake, maybe there would be a missionary here, someone who, or like Brother Chris, is going into full-time ministry. Lord, I pray that you would bring to our hearts that thing that you'd like us to forsake, Lord, to follow you closer. We ask for your help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.